Carlos, welcome.
Thank you, Jay, and good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, everyone around the world.
Yeah,
I'm
that's good.
honored and privileged to be part of this session.
That's great. Well, I'm going to do something fun with you. The first thing I'm going to do is ask you for maybe a 5-minute comment. Do you have those three? I sent Carlos the the topics I said we were going to talk about.
Yes,
And
yes.
what I'm going to do is ask him questions or throw out topics and let him free form for 2, 3, 4 minutes at a time. But before I do that, why don't you try your hand at taking a quick, like a macro comment about each of those three categories and just sort of some perspective. And it can be very, very macro, but just let's get the ball rolling by having you just do a little bit of an overview, okay, if you want. And
Okay, I will try, and you can stop me
yeah, I'll
or
stop you if you
interrupt
go
me any
tangential.
moment
Fair enough.
to add. Well, I think that when we talk about the billionaire or millionaire secret, it's very important to retain what we learn from Jay, and that is the strategy of preeminence. I consider the strategy of preeminence the mother lode of any business. Could be the mother lode for to grow your business. And there are three. I would like to talk to you briefly about three things that I learned during my career applying the strategy of preeminence. The first one is the optimization. What you know by optimization, the only three ways to grow a business, what I call the laser sales. And that is fantastic. I will not go in detail because you know already how it works. The number of customers by the average transaction, by the average frequency of each transaction. And as a result of it, you have your total sales. Now, when I learned first time from Jay, I think that it was in the 90s, early 90s, I was CEO at this time in a company. I said, well, how can I apply in my company this powerful concept? So I realized that soon the average transaction and average frequency for each transaction, when they increase, what it does mean? It means that you are increasing value. You are delivering value to your clients because when people are buying more and more frequently, is because you are adding value. So that is the best way to know. You don't need to do any survey. Is the best way to judge if you are growing or you are not growing. Now let's assume that is the first one. The second one, let's assume that you know already, you are familiar with the Pareto law, 20% of your clients represent 80% of your sales. So, which means that if, and by the way, it could be maybe 20, 70, 20, 90, but let's assume by this example, 20% represent, 20% of your clients represent 80% of your sales. In the same way, we can assume that we multiply 20% of 20% of your clients are 4%. 4% represent 64% of your sales because 80% multiplied by 80 is 64. So can you imagine? You have here a recipe to grow faster your sales because you say, well, 4% of my clients represents 64% of my sales. Now, what I'm doing or what I'm delivering tangibly and intangibly to those clients, the 4% clients that represent 64% of my sales. Now you have the recipe to double it, to do the same with the other clients. So the impact is fantastic. But at the same time, you are saving time. Is what I call the 16 principal factor. Because if you spend let assume again that we are with the 20-80% rule. Let assume that 20% of your sales represent 80% of your energy. So your payback factor is 0.25. You divide the 20 by 80. Now, at the same time, 80% of your sales represent 20% of your energy, only 20% of your energy, which means your payback factor is 4. Now, if you divide 4 by 0.25, you obtain 16, which means that you can be 16 times more effective if you exactly know where you need to spend your time. And that is what I call the business backbone. What are your clients that you need to target? They're really the clients that will profitably grow your business. What are the market segments that you need to consider to grow your business? What are the services or products that you need to offer to them? What are the geographical areas where you are that you need to be there to grow profitably your sales? That is the business backbone. And time, because time is very important, particularly today. So when are you releasing the products and services? Where you are setting offices or start prospection in geographical areas and market segments? So that is something that I described briefly. We describe more in detail in our book. Now you can have a copy of the digital after the session, the digital book. The strategy of preeminence for me, I would say that it made my life easy, and I developed and I progressed with so many companies, and in the past 10 years with clients. When I retired, I started to do what I love to do, to transfer my legacy, to transfer what I know to other companies. So the strategy of preeminence is so important that I would like to, we were talking yesterday with Jay, we would like to offer you a try. It's one of the documents, it's in fact a process, a step-by-step process that let you apply the strategy of preeminence.
Let me intervene for a minute. I have been building a e-learning platform for family-owned businesses, $100 to $500 million. It's got a lot of really cool stuff on it, and we need guinea pigs anyhow. So he wants, and I think it's a wonderful idea, to give you the chance to play around with the module we created on the strategy of preeminence, because we want feedback anyhow. So, but if you'll allow me, Carlos, I want to wait and lay that out with its full majesty at the end, because you're on a roll, and I want you to take some of the other elements real quickly,
okay,
and we'll come back to it. And I want you to make a couple of just spontaneous comments, and then I'm going to pick key phrases I want you to talk about. Okay.
Wonderful.
So go ahead. If you have another couple of perspectives on those three.
No, I think that is. I don't want to extend more my time at the end, but I think again, if you retain the three ways to grow a business that you know already, but you apply with the two principles, the 20-80%, the 16 factor principle, you have the recipe to grow in a substantial way, profitably yourself.
Now, I got to say this to everyone. Carlos is enormously, he's a very interesting dichotomy. He's very analytical. He's very disciplined, but he also is very nonlinear and open-minded. He has been able to look at everything from return on assets, asset velocity, a lot of very interesting categories that most bigger corporations and certainly 99% of the smaller companies and entrepreneurs never look at, and we'll try to get into a little of that later. But I'm going to give Carlos, because he's done a lot of work. I had him speak for me at our super seminar, and he was enormously impactful. and I'm just going to basically pick some interesting topics that I want him to talk about. So we'll talk about a little bit about convergent, divergent thinking, and talk a little bit about the role of that along with hindsight, insight, foresight, so that it can make a little bit of connective sense to people, okay?
Okay. So divergent thinking is what they call, or we can call, everyone call accurate thinking. And the best way to illustrate an accurate thinking is that tacticians ask, how can we dig faster? When they are working, how can we dig faster a hole? By contrast, accurate thinking strategists think always short-term and long-term, using foresight, hindsight, and insight. Accurate thinking strategists ask always, how can we be sure we are digging in the right place? So again, that is, I don't remember your name. I think that it was the first of one of you that was talking about the how important are the Socratic questions. Here are two questions. The first were, a tactician usually asks, how can we dig faster? How can we be efficient? When a strategist, an accurate thinker, asks himself, how can we sure we are digging in the right place? So this divergent thinking typically occurs, well, for me, divergent thinking is thinking with the two brains, left and right. Divergent thinking typically happens in a spontaneous way, when you learn, of course, how to do it. Free-flowing manner, exploring different possible solutions that are generated in an emergent cognitive fashion, which means that today, in a fast-moving world, is a skill, I will call a core competency, very important. There are many possible solutions that are explored in a short amount of time, and at the same time, unexpected connections are drawn. But in order to do the divergent thinking, you need a process. You need a thinking process in ways to always think in the same way you and your assistant, your people and particularly your staff. After the process of divergent thinking has been complete, you have new ideas and formation organized and structured. Now, let me give you the definition about hindsight, insight, and foresight. These are the three critical lens of critical thinking. So hindsight is what happened in the past. Hindsight will help you see exactly where your company has gone before, highlighting successes, but maybe more importantly, helping you to spot the situation where your company has failed to meet expectations. Unfortunately, most entrepreneurs today are spending more of the time in hindsight. Insight, or I will say hindsight-based insight. Now, let me explain you the second lens, the foresight. Foresight will help you see what changes are coming at you in your future and to your near future, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, in your company, in your market, and very importantly, in the economy, in the world. And finally, you have insight. Insight is the tool that you use for leverage your hindsight and your foresight. Insight is the understanding where your organization is positioned at the moment and the ability to plot a route that will take you to the destination that you have envisioned with foresight. I think that is the three most important qualities should be the three most important qualities to any entrepreneur, business, CEO, or owner. If you don't have foresight, your insight will be based on the past. And in a fast-moving world, everything goes so fast that your strategy will be obsolete, worthless, from the moment that you plan strategically.
That's good. Now stop. I'm going to switch you. We're going to play a game of Jay driving Carlos crazy, because I'm going to keep switching.
I
want you to do, you're doing great.
I love.
And I know, but Carlos is very impressive. If you meet him, he looks like he would not want to take the agile, fluid, and unexpected, extemporaneous challenges, but he's actually exquisitely good at responding on the fly, and he's very, very lucid and very efficient. So I'm going to ask you to take, in our book, and you'll all get a copy of it, and it doesn't, I mean, we're looking for larger corporations, so unless you guys are doing $100 million, you're getting gifted by us, and just because we want to make a difference in your business life, including on our platform. But Carlos, I want you to take cognitive intelligence, emotional, social intelligence, business talent intelligence, and intellectual intelligence, and do your very best at trying to very quickly and clearly, but rapidly and impactfully discuss, explain the relevancy, the gaps, why it's important, why it is the constraint in many, many organizations' growth, and torque it down to the smaller entrepreneur if you can and will.
I will do, certainly. And you can stop me. You know that I'm very passionate, and I'm starting to talk, and I cannot stop.
And I should say this about Carlos. He's on a mission and a crusade, and it's frankly not money-making, although we all like to make money. He really wants to make a difference in entrepreneurs. He wants to make a difference in family-owned businesses. His analogy is that most family-owned businesses at a larger level, if you look at their return on assets, they would be better closing the business down, liquidating, and putting the money in a passive investment that had a more predictable and secure yield, because they really don't get anywhere close to the profitability, productivity, or output it's capable of delivering. And he feels even more for the small and the medium-sized entrepreneurs. So what he's going to share is very relevant, and if you have no employees, it's still relevant, because you'll never grow if you don't have any employees or any partners or any resources, and all this is integral to all interactions. So go for it, Carlos.
Yes. Well, thank you, Jay. I think that there are principles or laws in life that works 100% of the time. The law of gravity works 100% of the time. And I think in business it's the same. There are principles that work always. And that is the reason why I think that a lot of processes or tools that we are selling in our platform to larger companies can easily be adjusted, adapted, used by entrepreneurs. So we wrote the book, The CEO Who Sees Around Corners, and we spend, and that, believe me, it's true, we spend close to 3 years, a little more than 3 years, working on. Because we were asking, we asked the question with Jay, why there are so many companies, large companies, entrepreneurial companies. By the way, last week I read that startups are practically, there are no startups today in the United States, and that the last year, 300,000 companies went out, bankruptcy, Chapter 11, or whatever. Of course, we know that there are close to 6 million companies with sales less than $10 million a year. Nevertheless, when you look at 300,000 companies, so, well, that is just, it's not a big deal. But what happened if we continue in the same way in the future? In 10 years, we can say that there are no 300,000 companies will be out of the market. Well, in 5 years, 150,000. So that is something that is worth to think about. I think that entrepreneurs need today more than ever to acquire a new thinking processes, because the market is tough. The market become tough, because the economy become tough, and because the technology is more and more advanced. So the book that we divided
intelligence now. So let's talk about intelligence.
Intelligence. So we divided the book in different areas. The emotional intelligence is the first one. The emotional intelligence is how you manage the information available to you. And you know there is a lot of information. The problem today is not that we don't have enough information. The problem is that we have too much information. Just go to Google and click on strategy of preeminence, and you will see that there are, I think the last time that I was checked, something 20 million documents. So anything that you want to know more, there are a lot of information. So you don't know how you can manage the information. So we were talking in this chapter or this part of the book about what we call the built-in automatic crap detector operating inside you. Because in fact, you need to make a selection between the information, the data, the people, things that people, friends are telling you that are credible, those that are unreliable. And then you are able to know what are the dubious assumptions that you want to put in the trash, and what are the factual, what the real facts and the factual assumptions.
And Carlos, let me interrupt for just a minute. Apologize.
Yes.
So I believe very strongly most people don't recognize that everything you do flows from your assumptions. If your assumptions are erroneous, even a small bit erroneous, everything that flows from it, the actions, the decisions, the commitments, the investments, the attitudes are going to be erroneous as well. So it's tremendously important that your assumptions be as accurate and as viable and as complete as is possible. At least that's my belief. Go ahead, Carlos.
Exactly. You are right, Jay, because that is a big, huge problem, because most, as you know, most CEOs, entrepreneurs, they say, I don't have time. I don't have time to manage information or to look at information or to... But if you don't do it, you are taking wrong decisions, probably, I'm sure, because your decisions are based on wrong data. So that is the first part, the emotional, and we give, by the way, a lot of quotes where we surveys or just what happened in the economy or with different companies, in order for the reader to understand exactly what we are looking for, cognitive intelligence. The second one, very important today, because we have a lot of stress. Everyone has a stress. I don't know how millions or billions of pills against the stress are sold out every year. So the second part is emotional and social intelligence. How we manage our emotions and our relations. And this is important, because when we are stressed, we don't take the right decision. The third one is where we are talking about the business and talent intelligence. How we manage the talent, your people that are working around you. Are they so smart or so... their skills are so well appropriate for your company today, and your business too. And so we talk particularly in this section about a lot of concepts already introduced by Jay. And then the last one is the intellectual intelligence. because we have two minds, the left, the right mind, but how we use, well, first we need the information, manage the information. Second, we need how to proceed with our emotion, manage our emotions and our relationship, our business and talent, and intellectual is how we are able to acquire accurate thinker. So there are a lot of charts, a lot of case studies. I think, I was one day an entrepreneur too. I consider myself still today an entrepreneur. I think that anyone that is on business should read the book, not because it was written by Jay myself, because, by the way, there are a lot of quotes about different experts and economists. So we try it to make the point, and it's very interesting because we have some people that wrote to us, for example, investors, one of the best investors here in the United States. This is a book where you only regret will be that you wish it had been not available sooner, and including physicians. So I suggest you to read, because it's easy to read, and you will find very interesting questions, Socratic questions that you can ask yourself.
Good. Okay, now stop for a minute. Let's talk next about, strategy versus tactics and the role of the entrepreneur, even if they're a small entrepreneur. What is their real role? What are they supposed, where are they the highest and best use? What should they be doing?
Well, I think that because you are an entrepreneur with small business, you need more strategy than anyone. And I will tell you why, because a strategy, in fact, if I define a strategy adjusted or adapted to entrepreneurs, is how you are able to manage profitable growth with your limited resources. That is, in fact, the strategy. When most entrepreneurs are spending more time in tactics, operations, and they forgot to see the other part of the equation, how I'm building my assets. Because make always, I learned a long time ago that money and wealth are not the same thing.
Explain.
In the Western country, we consider that are synonymous, but I don't think that they're the same. Income is, by the way, having a huge income does not ensure that the person to be wealthy. Income is the inflow of cash. It's money, what you earn short term. A long term could be wealth only if it is well managed. But wealth is more than that. For an entrepreneur, is how long of time an entrepreneur could maintain her or his current lifestyle without receiving more income. In fact, are your total resource, your assets, and that is what you need to manage only with a strategy. Your assets or your resources, if you want, are more important than your income. Why? Because with your assets, you can see the unseen and you can manage more income. However, with your income alone, you are lost if you don't know how to manage your assets.
I like that. Now, Carlos, now I'm going to switch again. So you have been very privileged. You have traveled figuratively and literally around the world, and you have associated directly and indirectly with some of the wealthiest people and some of the brightest people and some of the most impressive I would call them more than business builders. I don't know if I'd call them empire builders, but they were iconic in many countries. What have you observed that distinguishes and defines them, that is an attribute, because I know sometimes they have enormous amounts of problems, but what do you think that lessons that anyone at any point on the business or entrepreneurial, I guess, continuum could learn from what you have observed and seen, admired, and recognized are differentiators and denominators of people who achieve Herculean results and goals as opposed to people who struggle to just eke out a livelihood in their business?
Well, a very interesting question. Here are my answers. First, I think that they are able to have focus, and focus is more important than ever today, because money will be, by the way, today is for the larger companies only 0%, but I can tell you that in the near future, we are heading, I think, for a hyperinflation. So we need to be able to have focus. We cannot afford to not concentrate our resources in things that really will bring value to us. So the second one is that the way that they selected their people around them. They have a clear vision. They know exactly what they want to do with their company, where their company will be in the next 5-10 years. And they have values, clear written values. You don't have vision is the same. You know, they have a clear vision, written vision, because if your vision is not written, it's a dream, because you cannot share. Can you imagine if you have 10 people, 20 people, 100 or 1,000 people, you cannot share your vision with them if it's not written and well communicated. In the same way, they select the right people, and they invest in continuous education themselves. It's rare for me to know a successful leader like you were quoting, billionaires, not reading at least 20 to 50 books a year. Business books, not novels, business books. And they are all time eager to understand what is a particular in this book, and what they do most of the time is buying 50 books for all their staff, and they share together what is inside. The third one that I noticed in all them, very successful. For me, my definition of successful is not someone that make money, and a large amount of money. It's something, someone that reached peace of mind. And in order to reach a peace of mind, it's not enough money. You need to believe in your higher self, or whatever you want to call. If you are a Christian person, it would be your soul. But I like to call the higher self, because if you want to come with new ideas to be an innovator, you cannot find a solution in your mind. You need your higher self. At least that is what I believe. And it are the three factors that I see that are three qualities of all successful, for me, people.
Now let me intervene and connect, pardon me, a bridge. Where does the role, because many entrepreneurs are stymied and constrained because they want to do it themselves, and they don't have a good strategy, a good ideology, and a good vision for how to leverage their growth through the efforts and the passions and the abilities of others, i.e. talent, and they don't know how to hire, and they don't know how to motivate, and they don't know how to share vision, and I mean, a lot of issues there, but you want to take any of them, all of them, and try to tackle them?
Well, I think that the vision, no, for an entrepreneur is the first thing that needs to be done. I remember 5 years ago when I'm 73 this year, so I feel I'm still a younger man. But everyone my age thinks in the same way. But anyway, 5 years ago, I decided to stop traveling. It was too much. I was traveling around 110 days a year around the world.
This is when you were doing consulting.
Exactly. So coaching CEOs particularly. So I thought 10 years ago that I would retire. So in fact, I started writing my first book and then starting lecturing conferences and then coaching. So finally, it was more and more and more. But 5 years ago, so I sit in my office, my library, and I wrote 2 pages, no more. By the way, are available. I can send to you anyone. By the way, Jay, I think that I never sent to you.
I don't
and
think
it was my vision.
Okay.
And that here is my vision. It was May 2009 in 2 pages. And if you read, Jay, and I will send to you, I promise you
okay.
to send you, and you will realize this is exactly what we it was the unseen that today is the seen, what we are today. So I think that the vision is very important for anyone. And I think that entrepreneur, because I started as an entrepreneur too, we lack of core competencies. We have too much skills, but not enough to maximum 3 core competencies. Core competencies are a behavioral skill that we develop so much because we are obsessed to be excellent, to reach excellence, that we are the only ones in the market to have this knowledge or skills. This is what I call it, 2 or 3 maximum core competencies. And continuously, you are investing, learning, talking to the right people, and hiring the right people too. So.
And how do you hire the right people? I mean, I don't think most small entrepreneurs, I think one of the deterrents to ever growing is they don't have really a good, and a strategy is, sounds almost manipulative, a good context of how, why they need to hire people who possess, in many cases, more talent than they do in areas, and give them an environment of growth and development and stimulation so that they'll work hard and they will work passionately for the business, certainly, and for the consumers.
Well, if you remember, we were talking, I think, already about it. Jack Welch wrote once something very interesting. He wrote, if you are the best smart guy in the room, you are in trouble. And I think that is the same for entrepreneurs. If you are the all the knowledge of your small company is yours, 80% of you, you're in trouble. Because, you know, life is life, and everything can happen to you and your family, your business will go out. So you need, is very important to develop, to hire people. And I think that my experience is I hired people first based on attitude, because of course the core competencies or skill is something mandatory. But if I was looking in a salesman, of course, after looking at the core competencies or skills, I was looking at his attitude. His attitude is very important, because if he's a positive attitude, he's able to learn, to absorb knowledge. And I would say today, more important than the knowledge is understanding.
And differentiate.
Again, most people don't make the difference between knowledge and understanding. Knowledge is what to do, but you understanding is a strategy. So you need understanding because it's how you will do what you know. It's not easy. It's not easy. That is the reason why gurus and the educational system are not able to prepare or to develop strategies. You can take any survey that you want, serious. By the way, surveys, American Management Association, IBM, large companies. And they did surveys where they come to the conclusion that 5% of CEOs are unable to craft a strategy. So in other words, for me...
5 or 95?
5% are unable.
Oh. Cannot craft a strategy.
Exactly.
Okay.
And that is the reason why we are so much in trouble with so many companies today.
Interesting. So, okay, now I'm going to change again. There's a lot of entrepreneurs on, and it's good that we have an international mix on this call because, or in these sessions, because they will appreciate more because you're going to give a perspective for this country. But why don't you try to expand it? Give everybody a 4-minute comment about the BRICS nations and tell them why, no matter what you do and where you do it, it's relevant to you, and it's become more and more relevant for two different reasons, both threat and opportunity. Can you do that?
Yes, I can do it. So BRICS, well, you know, means, well, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. But there are more that are on board, that will be soon on board, like Iran, all the other countries in South America, in Asia particularly. So what is important for you to understand how important is are the BRICS is that their economy is growing at higher rates that we are growing in United States. Or I will not say United States, I will say the Western countries. So take just an example, China. And let's apply, I don't know if you are familiar or not, but I will give you a good tool, is the rule of 72. 72 is a magic key number. So you divide, let's assume that you are growing at 10% a year, your sales or whatever, your profit. So you use the rule of 72, 72 divided by 10, is 7 years. In 7 years, you will double your profits, your wealth, or whatever you want to call. So China, everyone is laughing. Well, the media particularly, about their growth is only 7%. Can you imagine? Went down from 10%, only 7%. Now, if you apply the rule of 72, and you divide 72 by 7%, means the gross national product, the economy, the China economy is growing every 10 years. Now, we take the Western countries, Europe, United States, Canada, and let's apply again the rule of 72. 72 divided by, let's assume, 2%. I don't think that we will reach 2% this year, but let's assume 2%. So, it would take 36 years to Western countries to double their economy. What that does mean? That is always the question that I like to ask myself. What that does mean? It means that the future is over there. They are people. Look what happened with China, no? How they were able to start manufacturing stuff, cheaper stuff, and today they are manufacturing high-tech. And more, by the way, they are not interested anymore in cheaper things. So we need to have a different vision to the world. I don't know. I was blessed maybe because, yes, I was traveling so much, my family, myself, during the last 40 years, that maybe it's natural for me to understand that we need to cooperate. That doesn't mean, I'm not talking about that, well, we will die. No, no, I think another possibility, another new possibility for an entrepreneur to enter in contact, because don't forget that the English is the universal language. And believe me, an entrepreneur in Brazil or in China, and we know how many are coming to your seminars, Jay, they if they are not 100% fluently, they are ready to maintain a conversation. So when you acquire a core technology, a core competency, you are really good, I don't know, on sales or marketing. You need to think about the other guy around the world in China or in Brazil, close, or Mexico, that is entrepreneur too, but can share with you practices, and you can develop new products. It's a way for you to increase the power, the all powerful three ways to grow a business, because today you have your clients and you have the transactions, but you don't have the possibility to increase your frequency because you don't have time or you don't have sales. Now, if you find, and there are different ways, you know, I don't have time to tell you, but I will say it will not cost too much for you to enter in contact with an entrepreneur with a specific core competency that you don't have that will work with you. Could be in India, could be in Brazil, could be anywhere. So that is what I think that we need to be aware when we think about the new or the future world, because technology let us more and more to be to do what we are doing right now. Can you imagine? Only 20 years ago, we were not able to do what we are doing today, and meeting with people all around the world.
That's great. All right, now I'm going to switch. I'm going to do about 15 minutes more. You are one of the best read and most interestingly complex people I've met, and you're very, very humble, and you're enormously lucid. You're reading books all the time. You're reading not just media manipulated news. You're reading behind the scenes. You have access through a lot of your sources to much more meaningful and accurate data and research. Tell us if you, and of all the books you've read, if you were going to recommend entrepreneurs to read 5 books first, what would they be today, right now, and why?
Well, more than the books directly, I would recommend authors, because there are two people that were, I will say 5 people. I will not recommend you books, but 5 people.
Okay, will be, who would they be,
Amazon, and
why?
You will find. Well, okay, Peter Drucker. Peter Drucker is the first one, and Robert Acuff. Acuff is not so well known. Acuff is A-C-K-O-F-F. He's not so well known Peter Drucker. By the way, both passed away already, but very good books and easy to read about strategy, and particularly talking about leadership, entrepreneurs, and everything related. It's not because he's my partner, but Jay, any doubt, for me, was a key person. I moved to the States in 1988. And 1 year later, well, I started already with subscriptions to different newsletters, and I don't know why, but I got once a newsletter with the name Jay, you know, the marketing genius. And I loved it. It was, at that time, Jay was talking about reading about marketing. And then I saw how he was growing, his growth mindset, and he started with a strategy too. So Jay knows that in my library I have everything.
He's got more
at
of
the
my
time.
material than I do.
Yes. I don't have. I was not able, because I was traveling a lot, to assist to the personally to be acquainted to Jay. But I bought all newsletters or home studies that he was offering. So it's very important, because I apply. I'm an engineer, but a wrong engineer. I graduated engineer. Because, well, at the time, I'm a generation where my father had a big influence on me, and so he was an oil engineer, and I should be an oil engineer. But I didn't like. So 2 years later, I started selling. Then I went to marketing. Then I went to strategy, what I love to do. And so I'm very passionate with processes. I love to create a process from everything, and I think that is a something that I suggested to you, all of you, to do too. Try to write your thoughts, because when you are writing your thoughts, you can come back later and take the notes. I love to use the mind maps, but I'm not using any software. I'm building myself a mind map with my thoughts, and all are links and related, so I come back one day or 1 week later, I can add. And finally, is the way that I develop ideas, concepts, new products, or ideas for a book. So, Jay, it was, I would say, brought to me, well, I was able to develop practical concepts into processes and apply right away in my companies and later on with my clients. I will talk about people like Brian Tracy. He was so great to me that at one moment I bought his license for Latin America, and early 90s, and we were very successful, no? And then partially I will say Anthony Robbins too. He has a very good stuff about goals, how the mind works. So there are many, because I'm reading a lot, but these are five people that I would say had or let me develop my own ideas, but I'm always in touch with them.
Okay, now I'm going to switch. The last formal question, and then we'll see if anybody wants to ask you a question or pose a challenge that maybe I didn't answer or didn't address clearly for them. But the last is, if you had an hour, and I don't want you to take an hour, but okay, let's take it. If you had 10 minutes and you were sitting down with an entrepreneur and you only had 10 minutes one time to transform the rest of their business life, and you didn't really know a lot about the business, what would you tell them to do first, second, third, fourth, and why?
Well, first, business is important because it is a part of your family. You cannot be a successful and happy entrepreneur if you work 100% on your business and you forgot your family, your wife or the kids. So you need a balance. You need a balance in your life. Anyone needs balance. But more importantly, an entrepreneur, because you need to do everything at the same time. Sometimes if you are working alone or you have a small team, so you don't have time. So because you don't have time, you need to set priorities. But you need to have a balanced life. It means spend time with your family. That is important. Spend time spiritually or thinking about your high self, thinking about your professional development. And if you are an entrepreneur, you need today more than ever passionate. So you need to do really decide to do what you love to do. Why? Because you will be spending a lot of time. And I can tell you that if Jay and myself that would be selling our program that we are selling today, I don't know, but millions. I'm taking our time, 4 years, personally, myself, four years working full time, because I'm passionate, and Jay is passionate. By the way, that is our legacy. We love to transfer our knowledge, our understanding. So that is the first thing that I will tell him. The second thing is, well, let's talk now about business. So I will recommend him to read the CEO who sits around the corners, because it will give him a very clear image about the different intelligences that he needs in order to be successful. And the third one, I will be explaining him clearly how to grow a business, because how to grow a business is the same that the law of gravity. There are things that you need to respect. And when you understand how works the money, how it works the ecosystem, because in fact it's an ecosystem that you need to develop. Today, most entrepreneurs think about their market, about the targeted customers, about their products, about the know-how, about the financials, about the people in general, but they don't see exactly, they never see them as part of an ecosystem, what I call the internal ecosystem. And you need to select the right market, the right targeted customer, right products, right know-how or core competencies, your financials, what you want to, wealth that you want to create, the people, the profile of the people that you need, and then you need to think about your external ecosystem. What are your shareholders, if you have other partners with you? What are your future, your prospects, your future customers? What are your suppliers that can help you? What are the lenders and debtors? What are the employees, the new employees, that are not working yet in your company, but you want to invite them to join your organization? And you need to think about the government. The government, through the economy, is full part of your ecosystem. So I don't know, I didn't count how many, three or four, but that is the most important thing that you need to know, and I will be trying to transfer to them.
Carlos, you're a star.